Hello and welcome to the 10th episode of Xbox Mojo. My name is Thomas, and somehow it's hard for me to find topics for this podcast lately. This has several reasons. On the one hand, I'm currently a bit busy professionally, but on the other hand, there are hardly any exciting games being released at the moment, not to mention that Microsoft probably won't release any games in the first half of the year. Microsoft somehow puts too much focus on the end of the year, and I can only hope that this will change next year when all the studios finally deliver. And yes, this "everything will be better next year" has become a kind of a running gag. But game development takes time, and game development during a pandemic takes even longer. I didn't think the last few years were that bad. Last year alone was good with Age of Empires 4, Psychonauts 2, Halo Infinite, or Forza Horizon 5. The previous year also had good games with Wasteland 3, Ori and the Will of the Wisps, Tell Me Why, Minecraft Dungeons, or Gears Tactics. But I think people often miss these big AAA games and, above all, a certain regularity. Halo Infinite was released in December and was the last game from Microsoft until today, at the end of April. Who knows when we can hope for the next game? July, August, or not until September? These gaps are a bit long and show that Microsoft is still very far from achieving the goal of releasing one big game per quarter. And what can we hope for in 2022? Redfall is still planned for summer 2022, but who still believes in it? We saw a render trailer of the game last summer, and since then there has been no more info. I'd like to see some gameplay from this open-world co-op shooter. And by the way, what does summer 2022 mean? According to the meteorological calendar, summer starts on June 1st and ends on August 31. While the calendar summer begins on June 21 and ends on September 21, there you have it. If Redfall is released in September, the summer promise would probably be kept. In the meantime, I fear a shift whether only to November or even next year. One must see then. Then there are rumors that an Xbox version of Age of Empires 4 is planned. I would be pleased about that. It would not be unusual if the new Forza Motorsport is released in September and Grounded 1.0 is also planned for this year. But the biggest Xbox title will be Starfield, which is scheduled for release on November 11, and where marketing is already kicking off. With Breath of the Wild 2 being delayed until 2023, it feels like Starfield is also the only game left that could knock Elden Ring off my Game of the Year throne. I hope Starfield comes out on time and positively blows us away. The infos you get, the artwork shown so far, and just the concept of an Elder Scrolls in space ultimately picks me up. There are currently no rumors or news reports worth mentioning from any of the games mentioned, so what is there to talk about? Perhaps via the content updates that existing games received. Everything seems to be fine regarding service games, Microsoft's holy grail. Good battle pass, good seasons, and so the limited adventure, the Shrouded Deep, and the Legend of the Whale are currently still running until May 12th. The plots of both stories are closely connected and revolve around the mysterious Whale of the Ancients. This magical artifact gives the ability to travel between the world of the living and the supernatural sea of the damned. In the Shrouded Deep, you team up with Bell and the famous megalodon hunter Merrick. Together you want to summon a legendary pale Leviathan, the Shrouded Ghost. You can recover the Whale of the Ancients from the beast's stomach by completing this epic monster hunt. After the event of the Shrouded Deep, you can go on the Legend of the Whale caper and work with the Pirate Lord on a free part quest for the Whale Stones. This caper ride is awe-inspiring of its replayability, while the first two stages are randomly selected. The spectacular climax of the quest is always fixed. A giant sea battle in the middle of a supernatural storm in which you will face a powerful garrison of ghosts. The Legend of the Whale is primarily for pirate legends, but low-level crew members can also shine and experience this multi-level odyssey with their own eyes. After all these years, I am still not a pirate legend, so it's about time I finally reach rank 50 with at least 3 trading companies in Sea of Thieves. I think it's a bit of a shame that I missed the other 2 limited time events this year. The cinematic trailers convinced me each time, but I was too busy with Elden Ring and so on. I watched the final now, though I'll have to read the story summary on the official site. Sea of Thieves is terrific in terms of support, and I have to play it more often. Just the innovations that Season 6, which started at the end of March, brought. Sea forts were conjured up by Captain Flameheart from the Sea of the Damned. There are 6 of them spread across the Sea of Thieves. These are smaller versions of the well-known skeleton forts, but they take much less time to be clear. Therefore, more suitable for soloists and short game sessions. So, new content and mechanics are constantly being added, and countless cosmetics. As positively as Sea of Thieves develops, things are going badly with Halo Infinite. Named Xbox Mojo Game of the Year last year, I've questioned that decision several times. Yes, I reasoned that no game offered such a suitable package of single and multiplayer. However, it seems that 343 is driving the multiplayer part against the wall. And I don't mean the gameplay, because that is outstanding. I'm talking about content. A service game only works if new content is always coming. But Halo Infinite's Battle Pass system was not motivating, but rather annoying. Plus, the absurd idea that a season should last half a year. For the content offered, that was far too long. Various events didn't help either. I couldn't see the same maps anymore, and therefore I won't finish the first Battle Pass until the start of the second season. My Halo motivation is currently at a low point, and the lack of communication on 343 is not helpful. First, we were supposed to get info in January, and then it was postponed. Later, co-op will be released during Season 2, but Forge will be released with Season 3. All a bit unfortunate. The player numbers are declining. At the release, after all, at launch, almost 300,000 players were simultaneously online on Steam. By Christmas, there were just under 17,000, and in April, only 8,000. Fortunately, 343 has woken up from its slumber and announced information about Season 2. Season 2, Lone Wolves, starts on May 3 and comes with 3 new game variants: King of the Hill, Land Grab, Last Spartan Standing. Especially King of the Hill will please many veterans. Team battle for a neutral hill on a map, conquer it and hold it to score points. Great. It will run so that as soon as the score starts, a bar fills up, and when this is completely filled, the team gets the point and the hill spawns in another place. In Land Grab, there are 3 neutral zones on the map at the start of a game. Once you have captured a zone, you earn points for your team. The first team to score 11 points by occupying the zones wins the match. Completely new is the Last Spartan Standing mode, and as the name suggests, it's a kind of a battle royale. Some might call it a battle royale light, since only 12 Spartans compete in a big team battle arena, while the playing area gets smaller and smaller. Also, unlike classic Battle Royale, there will respawn 5 of them. So only when you die the sixth time, you do leave the match. I'll have to try that out. The idea that a mistake doesn't immediately ruin the round can also be interesting. On top of that, you start with a limited loadout. Getting a kill then gives you an upgrade to more powerful equipment, so it pays out to play offensively instead of camping. Otherwise, you won't be able to find other weapons or use vehicles on the maps. Breaker is a new big team battle map that matches the new mode, but arena fans will also be catered for with the Catalyst map. After all, two new maps in the season, not much, but something. In addition, there are new variants of the playlist. In Ninja Slayer, you have infinite ammunition for energy swords and the grappling hook, so get ready for some hot sword fighting duels. Vampire Ball is an oddball mode where the skull can be used as a one-hit kill, so instead of being a victim, you will be the real threat with the ball. Another variant brings rocket launcher and repulsor with infinite ammunition. Between May 3 and 16 and July 19 and August 1, there is a narrative event called Interruffin's Alpha Pack. Between May 24 and 40 is the Fractured Entrenched event, and you should be able to play the campaign in co-op from the end of August, and a Forge open beta is planned for September. Quality of life improvements will be released as a drop pods update during a season, but the developers didn't say exactly which ones. However, the problem with the whole thing is that this season will also be extended. Like season 1, season 2 will last a full 6 months. And I don't think the two new maps and the new modes are enough fodder to make the game attractive until November. Season 3 won't start until November 8. Sadly. Don't find it purposeful when Joseph Staten talks about Free for Free being determined to make Halo Infinite the best Halo experience, even in the blog post. And the main reason for extending Season 2, he said, was to give them more time before releasing another season to integrate the quality of life improvements they've made based on what they learned in Season 1 and other data and feedback they've collected. Because somehow, as a gamer, you wonder what they've been doing for the last few years. Halo Infinite was in development forever and was delayed a whole year only to launch with no Forge or co-op. Multiplayer had few maps, even fewer modes, and a poor battle pass. This season was then inflated to 6 months, only to have the next season extended to 6 months again, with two new maps and three new modes. Then to say, besides co-op, by the way, not until the end of August, and we just need more time for everything. How much more time do they need? Halo Infinite should be the spearhead of Xbox games. It's the most critical brand, and somehow Free for Free always asks for more time, only to implement half again. Of course, I'll be playing Season 2, testing the new modes and all, and I'm also glad there's finally a roadmap. But I'm not entirely blown away now that the plans have been announced. Halo fans need a lot of patience until Infinite finally has the scope they are hoping for. Xbox fans need a lot of patience until all the announced games finally appear. And I understand if it's annoying. Then you say, Thomas, but there's still Game Pass. Yes, Game Pass often saves a gaming slump on Xbox. But honestly, I have to say that I don't find the current stuff that exciting. Assassin's Creed Origins and For Honor's Marching Fire Edition are coming to Game Pass within 2 months. Nothing to freak me out about. After all, those with Game Pass Ultimate will also have access to Electronic Arts catalog and will be happy to see Need for Speed Hot Pursuit Remaster and F1 2021. With Turnip Boy commits tax evasion, a Medicare 2D Zelda clone will be released, and at the end of April, 7 Days to Die, Research and Destroy, Unsold, and Bugsnax will be released. The latter of which was exclusively available for PS5 at the next-gen launch. Maybe I'll finally play Outriders, which was released for Game Pass last year. So, as preparation for the extensive World Slayer expansion, which will be released on June 30, should breathe new life into the game. This will be a paid expansion. Owners of the original can buy a digital upgrade, and Outriders and World Slayers will be available as a new double pack. A release in Game Pass is not yet planned. World Slayer offers a new campaign, more enemies and new locations, just what you would expect from an expansion. The story is more about the backstory of the planet Enoch and is aimed at players who have played through the original campaign in its entirety. So now would be a good time to catch up on the game, even though buyers of World Slayers will get a level boost that lifts the character directly to level 30. New weapons and armor sets will be available and a new progression system. A PAX skill tree will complement the existing skill trees. Reaching milestones in World Slayer will earn you PAX points, and you can then put them into specializing in your class. The ascension system is also only available from level 30, and you can earn ascension points and put them into skills like better armor or more health points. You should be able to collect 200 ascension points, but this should take a long time, as this is the absolute endgame content for those who spent hundreds of hours in the game. New difficulty level and better loot also make everything more interesting for veterans, so it all reads well, so I might give the base game another chance. On the other hand, I'd have to keep playing Destiny 2. Otherwise, I might LEGO Star Wars The Skywalker Saga a try, which has good ratings and even better sales. Unfortunately, I never warmed up to the LEGO games until now. Chrono Cross The Radical Dreamers Edition is also available for Xbox, a cult classic on the first PlayStation back in the day. The game has just been released as a remaster, so better visuals, quality of life improvements, and a newly recorded soundtrack. Since early April, Godfall Ultimate Edition has also been available for Xbox. Originally a PS5 exclusive, which then got a PS4 version and is now available for Xbox. I'm waiting for the Game Pass version on that one. I just don't see me spending money on it, even though all the expansions are included. Somehow, I have to keep my head above water, because as good as the first quarter was in terms of video games, I'm not interested in upcoming releases. There's a reason why I played through Dark Souls 3 after Elden Ring, platinumed Bloodborne, and I'm currently playing Dark Souls Remaster, although I find Dark Souls 1 tough. Somehow, it's now backlog time for me, and that won't change that much in the next few weeks. What I find pretty cool is that the Shadowrun Trilogy will be released for Xbox on June 21. It is the console version of the PC games released in the last few years. Isometric tactics RPGs without real-time battle. Would like that, but before that I should finally play through Wasteland 3. Also coming at the end of June is Sonic Origins. This is a collection of Sonic the Hedgehog, Sonic the Hedgehog 2, Sonic the Hedgehog and 3 and Knuckles, and Sonic CD. You can play all the games as Sonic, Tails or Knuckles, and there are new cutscenes. And can play everything in classic mode with original resolution and limited lives, or in the new anniversary mode with revised full screen resolutions and infinite lives. I honestly don't know why there's another new collection coming and why Sega is charging nearly 40 euros for it, or 45 euros if you pick up the digital deluxe edition, which then includes some extras. I have no idea how many collections of the game have been released now, but I'll pass at that price. What else do I have on my list here? The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt for Xbox Series X and S has been postponed indefinitely and was supposed to be released in Q2. E3 2022 has been cancelled so that it won't take place as a digital event either. Instead, Jeff Keighley will present his summer show and the publishers will hold their own events. QuakeCon 2022 will be a digital event from August 18 to 20. I'm looking forward to it since I'm a Bethesda fan on the one hand and found last year's QuakeCon with the release of a Quake Remaster pretty good on the other. At the beginning of the episode, I talked about Redfall and maybe we'll see the first gameplay of Redfall at QuakeCon. Maybe it's the summer show thing. Anything is possible. During the Kingdom Hearts 20 anniversary event, Square Enix announced Kingdom Hearts 4 without a time frame, without a platform, without details, but simply because it fits the anniversary and they were afraid of leaks. Vicarious Vision is now wholly owned by Blizzard Entertainment and renamed Blizzard Albany. Previously, Vicarious Vision worked on Activision remasters such as Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2 or Crash Bandicoot and Saint Trilogy. In January 2021, Blizzard's incorporation process began and they worked on Diablo 2 Resurrected, which was released in September 2022 for PC and consoles and has since sold more than 5 million copies. As a Blizzard fan, I was also excited about the announcement of World of Warcraft Dragonflight, which I even watched on the live stream. No game have I played longer than World of Warcraft, even though I now usually only test a new add-on for a few weeks and then put it aside. I've bought every collector's edition since Burning Crusade and I like the universe. Unfortunately, Shadowlands was not so well received, but now there is hope that everything will be better with Dragonflight, and that might even be true this time, as many community requests are being fulfilled this time. Finally, actual talent trees are coming back, replacing the hidden power system. For the first time since Legion, there is a new class, Caller of the Trachea. Strictly speaking, a unique race class combination that can join either faction. Colors of the Drakia are via chain armor and have access to two specializations. Devastation, it's range damage, and preservation, healer. The user interface become more modern and grind system like Artifact Power and Azerite fly out of the game. In addition, the setting with dragons, Dragon Island, and the possibility of dragon riding is already quite remarkable. Unfortunately, however, no console version was announced. This would be the cherry on the top of the cake, and so I will be curious to see how well the game will run on my MacBook Pro M1 Pro with 32GB RAM. Maybe I should have bought the Max version, but I wasn't thinking about gaming. Wow, I somehow managed to get a new episode, even if there are not breaking news or something like that. It can only be better, and at the latest in the summer, enough new games will be announced, which I can then report. That should have been it for this week. Thank you for listening. The future is bright, and the mojo is coming back. Until next time. You're Thomas.